The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
They'll fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. Gutting the Sacred Cow is there. Hey, wow, new episode time. Oh, lucky you. We have Lauren Conlon here this week, and she has now completed our Molly Ringwald, John Hughes trifecta, as she is now attempting to try and kick the legs out of 16 Candles. Before we get to it, did you get your live show tickets yet? Why not? Eventbrite.com. Gutting the Sacred Cow, search for it, and for a promo code, what's one of our most commonly used phrases? All one word, no spaces, will get you 15% off in that. So what's a phrase we always use? Also, guttingthesacredcow.com every day. And now we're on Patreon. So patreon.com/guttingthesacredcow. You now will find our blogs there. Vlogs. Video blogs for you old people. We do our list of 10 quotes, movies we've seen. That doesn't happen. You know the drill. So patreon.com/guttingthesacredcow. And here's our friend Lauren Conlon going for the trifecta with 16 Candles.
Gather round, here's what I know. It's just that this cow has got to go. I know some people.
What am I, in the Pay No Mind list? Kevin Israel, name that film.
Ah, fuck.
Now, this is the part where you say, I should know this. And this is the part where I say, I know you do. And from the look of our guest face, Lauren Conlon, I think she knows the answer. But let's give Kevin another three Mississippi. Oh, okay.
No, I know. I know I should know this. And I think it's a movie I saw recently.
We'll venture again. What am I in the Pay No Mind list?
Can you give me a little hint? Can you give me like context or something?
If I give you context, it's a dead fucking giveaway.
Oh, okay.
If I even do the accent, it's a dead fucking giveaway. That's why. But it's an offset quote.
I don't know. I'm going to get so mad when you say it, but.
Hey, spider, give me a cutty in water. I thought you said you're a good spider. I said I'm not no good spider. What am I in the Pay No Mind list? Goodfellas. Right, we shoot him in the fucking foot.
That wasn't a good quote. I don't know.
It's offset. Shame on you, Kevin Goatee. Kevin Israel back, and that giggle is entertainment's most savvy reporter, Lauren Conlon. Lauren, hi. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. The giggle has to go. I've been saying lately that I sound like Kamala, and I don't like it. So I am like, working on it.
Sound like Kamala? What?
The vice president of the United States.
I thought you said America. I thought you said Camelot, like the story of JFK and his boys.
I mean, didn't we all get lectured for saying her name name incorrectly. It's Kamala. It's not Kamala. It's Kamala.
Well, you got lucky if you paid enough attention, but I
yeah, didn't. You guys don't care. What am I saying right now? Anyway, my laugh is annoying, and I appreciate you calling it a giggle because I feel cuter. So thanks.
Bringing politics to a podcast about movies.
And cue the onslaught of hate mail, Kevin. They love when either side is discussed on this podcast.
Where, okay, whatever.
There's the agenda, lady.
Yeah. There's the raspy goofaw. Here we are. Look at Lauren's face. Oh, cutie. So here we are. Lauren Conlon. I'd tell you what, Kevin Israel. She's chosen a film. This is the hot topic on this show because once that first domino fell, they all have fallen. Lauren has chosen yet another John Hughes film, and that is the final, actually the OG in the Molly Ringwald, John Hughes trifecta, 16 Candles, coming out in 1984 with a budget of $6.5 million, $23.7 million gross. Turn that into 2022 money, $17.7 million budget, $65.4 million. Not too shabby, not a ringing the doors, but you know, good enough for him to get two other execs of the same films with Molly Ringwald, right?
The same cast, just keep recycling them.
And the same wardrobe. We'll get into it.
We made five times our money. Let's do it again.
Yeah. IMDb, as we know, is a scale 1 through 10 with decimal points. Lauren Conlon, what do you think that 16 Candles got 1 through 10 with decimal points? IMDb score.
I think I looked already. I think it was like 8 out of 10 or 7 out of 10 or something.
Well, you can recuse yourself if you looked, you cheating fucker.
What am I not supposed to? You never fucking said that, Kevin.
No, you were not supposed to. This is a guessing game.
Okay, whatever. It's 7.3. I didn't look.
Kevin Israel.
I was going to say 6.5, but now I know I'm wrong because Lauren's cheater. a cheater.
What is it?
I thought Kevin was going to guess, but
no, I'm going to go with 6.5, but I just like to be wrong.
7.0.
It's something like a 7, but maybe not.
Yeah, she's trying to slow play this. Rotten Tomatoes, unless the cheater looked at this, is a 1 through 100 score. Kevin Israel, you get first crack. What do the critics give this this fine film, as some say?
I'm hoping like a 57. This is an aspirational.
Lauren Conlon, what do you think the critics scored it?
I feel like they gave it like a 70 something. The critics. Ooh, bitch. Okay, 60 something. All right.
Well, get ready to be disappointed. 83.
Critics? What? Jeez. Critics. Really?
This is why no one should take critics seriously except us. Now, Lauren.
Harvey Weinstein critic. What the fuck?
Lauren Conlon, what do you think the audience gave this film?
Oh, I feel like that's like in the 90s. That's like high 90s.
How about a little more specific?
Okay, fine. 96.
Kevin Israel?
81.
85. The critics and audience simpatico. Quotes, yes, you're a total fag. I almost got a
Not what you say most of the time, Kevin.
I know.
What's a quote from the movie?
That's, yeah. Zing, waka, waka, waka. Next one. She's gotten her boobs. I better get my magnifying glass. I'm not talking to you, Lauren. I'm giving a quote.
I get that. Thank you.
Next one. I got to sleep under a Chinaman named after a duck's dork. Last one. No more Yankee, my wanky. The donger need food. Kevin Israel, I left plenty of meat on this one, this bone for you. Why don't you jump on this, baby?
Yeah, I'm going to go just for the two big ones. I can't believe this. They fucking forgot my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd shit twice and die.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know those were the big ones, but okay. They're big ones for you. That's fine by me. Hey, Lauren, did any quotes jump out at you?
Yeah, I was going to say the magnifying glass one with the boobs.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I feel like that's pretty famous.
I agree. Oh, yeah. That was something that the magnifying glass became ubiquitous when it came to talking to girls in prepubescence and saying, hey, that dude's dick is tiny. Get the magnifying glass out.
Yeah, right. Good point. Mm-hmm.
Five fun facts.
Five fun facts. Five fun facts.
The Cusacks, John and Joan, were initially prominently cast in The Breakfast Club, with John cast as Bender, eventually played by Judd Nelson, and Joan sent to play Ally Sheedy. But Universal thought Hughes' other finished screenplay, 16 Candles, was more commercial and therefore should be made first. Molly Ringwald, it wasn't that fun of a fact. I know this one had a lot. I had to really go down and find some
dig deep.
That was kind of fun, Kevin. It's okay. That was fun.
I didn't make them up. Next one, Molly Ringwald and Anthony Michael Hall found that they did not like each other at first. Hoping to fix this, John Hughes took the two stars to a record store together and they bonded over the same taste in music.
Very interesting. I like that.
How Shakespearean. Yeah, where they go to wall-to-wall sound and video back in 1984 when this thing filmed, or 83?
Yeah, that's weird. But I like that they didn't get along. Like, what did they not get along about? Imagine that. I don't even know.
I'd love to find out if wall-to-wall sound and video was in existence when Lorne was alive. That's my question to everybody.
Kevin, you're literally like 3 years older than me. You're literally not that much older than me. I don't understand.
I'm a couple more years older than that. Okay, next one. Get ready for your taints to shrivel up. In 2003, the USA Network was hoping to create a sequel to this classic film called, want to take a guess what they're going to call it?
18 Candles.
32 Candles.
Wait,
seriously?
Yeah. And based on the corresponding birthday of Sam Baker. I always like to have you guys try and guess, but this one you'll never guess. The role of Jake Ryan was auditioned for by Viggo Mortensen.
Ooh, I think he's very handsome.
Yeah,
his career went in a much better direction.
Yeah,
stud. He must have been like, yeah, I'm into that.
Good lay down, Viggo. Molly Ringwald says she wished he had won the role since he made her, quote, weak at the knees. And
wow,
I'll give you a hint on this one. Let's see if you can pick it up. Huge name in the 90s and 2000s, famous comic turned actor who was almost cast to play Farmer Ted. Huge
comic turned actor. Hint.
I just gave you a hint.
No, a bigger hint.
Adam Sandler.
No, that's not. He's not part of that. Like, I feel like they have to be older.
He was in the 90s. That's not a bad
90s and 2000s. He was huge.
Yeah. Any guesses, Lauren?
I really don't know. Who?
Jim Carrey.
No!
I feel like Jim Carrey's the answer to almost every question you ask.
Oh, funny.
I mean, I guess once bitten was not that far away. What a turd. And now it's time for the audience to jump in with the interrogation. Time for Ask a Gutter.
Ask a Gutter. Ask a Gutter. Ask a Gutter. Ask a Gutter.
Our buddy Brandon Oglesby at Newark Night. If you were Molly Ringwald in this movie, what would have felt like a bigger kick in the teeth? Everyone ignoring your birthday, spelled with a U, for your sister's wedding, or the exchange student being instantly popular after going to your school for one day? Bigger kick in the teeth, Lauren.
Probably the birthday thing. Even though I don't care about my birthday personally, I might care about that a little bit more, about rather than a foreign exchange student being popular. I'd be very happy for that person. I like when other people have success, so I'd be happy for him. I don't know.
I find it hard to believe you don't get all hopped up about your birthday. You seem like the type to celebrate your birthday month.
No. Are you serious?
Yes.
Kevin, you don't even know me. I give my whole family shit. I'm like, what are you, five? All right, my kid, yeah, you are five. You get a birthday. My husband, I'm like, what are you, five? No, you don't get a birthday.
You barely get a blowjob.
Yeah. Next.
Matt Dawson, the only thing I remember about this film is it's an abundance of racism with a pinch of awkward romance. So let's just ask, is John Hughes the most overrated director of the 80s? And if not, who is?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Very good question.
So John Hughes also did Home Alone, am I right?
He sure did.
Okay, see, I love Home Alone. I love that, so I don't think he's necessarily overrated. And I also love Breakfast Club, so I don't really agree with that statement. I don't think he's overrated.
Well, if you look at all his films, you may think so. By the way, our buddy Jen Eckhart did Breakfast Club, and she hates that film.
She hates it? Oh, see, I like Breakfast Club. Yeah, I like it. You know... I don't know. I don't think he's the most overrated director, but I have to think about that. Who's, I mean, to me, it's kind of like James Cameron. I don't know if he's necessarily 80s. He's more, I'm sorry, but like, I can't handle Avatar. I can't handle Titanic. I just want to shoot myself in the mouth. But
I love how she gave the two least likely enjoyable films, Kevin Israel. How about a film called Aliens or Terminator or Terminator 2?
Yeah,
or True Lies? No.
So True Lies, I like, but I'm not, you're going to kill me. I'm not really a Terminator fan. I know most people will.
Well, this podcast is over.
Yeah, I know. I'm not. I'm sorry.
What are we doing here?
You know what I am? I'm more of a Die Hard girl. I'm more of like a Bruce Willis girl.
We love Die Hard, except Don Jameson does not. But
if you like Bruce Willis, you can watch any of his 90 movies that come out every month now, because he must owe somebody a lot of money.
Dude,
he's making like 30 movies a week.
I need to know who is more in debt, him or Nicolas Cage.
I was just gonna say that, Kevin. Nick Cage must be in total debt. His movies are so bad.
He was.
But I don't think he's getting paid. That's the thing. He's doing
I know why. He was buying castles in Europe. That's what did it him.
For his like teen bride Asian wife, like it's so, I don't even, right? Like he married like a 19-year-old, I think, or I don't even know if they're still married, but whatever.
Bruce Willis lost a bet. Somebody bet him that he couldn't make 100 movies in a year, and he was like, oh, I'll take that. Hold my beer.
There goes the camel again. Sorry.
Hey, Jackie Chan, slow the fuck down. I got this. Dear Seth Rogen, I'm on your shit. Next one, Lord Snurts. 16 Candles definitely shows its age with outdated jokes and stereotypes, but is still enjoyable. Here's my question. You get to attend one party from a comedy movie. Which one do you choose?
That's a great question.
And that's exactly what I wrote back. That's exactly what I wrote back.
That's a great question.
That's a really good question. I already know, hands down, my party. The old school party, obviously.
I was going to guess for you, Can't Hardly Wait.
No. Because I'd rather do a college party than a high school party, because I have to go home to my parents in high school, and I was always very aware of that. College, it was like all bets are off. So a college party is my jam, and like I think about, like, I would be streaking with Frank. That would be me. I'd be like, yeah, we're going streaking, why not,
in the quad. Israel, yeah, exactly. what about you, pal?
Easy answer: the party in the movie Project X.
Oh my god, I forgot about Project X.
It ends with a guy in a car and a flamethrower. I mean, I gotta be there.
No, that's boy, that's I was thinking about this and I couldn't come up with a good answer. I agree with you, Lauren. High school, no thanks, because it's too much fuckery. Easy answer is Animal House. Project X is a good answer. I would have said American Pie at Stifler's place, because that's always good for a
that's
laugh.
That's a good
right?
one. No, that's a good one. You're
yeah,
right.
That's pretty good. That one of those. I don't have a firm answer. But all the answers.
Stifler's Mom's House is good. That's good, yeah. Kevin. I wish I thought of that.
That's a good one. All right, next one. Guama Hair Sunil at Llama Lavender. Do you like The Breakfast Club or 16 Candles better? I ask because I have a hard time choosing between the two.
Well, I already answered that. Breakfast Club, for sure.
I know. And that is only... that's it. That's a short Ask the Gutter. So before we get into Lauren's notes, Kevin, let's talk about our favorite sponsor. That, of course, being Athletic Greens. You're a one-a-day kind of guy with Athletic Greens too, correct?
I am. I do enjoy the Athletic Greens. In the morning with cold water. It's right. before my morning cup of coffee. Kicks it off just right with the right amount of energy, some focus. Helps with the gut health, and it actually tastes good, because most supplements taste like crap.
Yeah.
Athletic Greens tastes, it's actually good. It's creamy. It's smooth. It's a good way to start the day.
And it's lifestyle friendly, keto, vegan, dairy free, gluten free, all that stuff. Supports better sleep and recovery. And Lauren, oh, don't you laugh, because it costs less than your coffee does a day. Less than three bucks a day. Can't beat that. Love it, because like I said, the gut health is great, keeps you regular. And when you do buy Athletic Greens, make sure, of course, you go to athleticgreens.com/GTSC. You're going to get a year supply free of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs. Took it with me to the Cayman Islands. They were just lovely. As soon as I poisoned my body with gin. athleticgreens.com/GTSC. Over 7,000 5-star reviews. Guys, that many people can't be wrong, right? Right. athleticgreens.com/GTSC. help us out. Help us help you out. Now it is time for Lauren Conlon to do what I know she's been preparing to do since last Friday. And that is
Gut
the sacred cow.
Oh my God. I just got like the tingles, like the dummy tingles. Okay.
Yeah.
So guys, I'm going to start. I might be a little out of order. Forgive me. I do want to kick this off by saying I do not support cancel culture. I hate cancel culture. I hate everything about 2022 and the woke society. Now, with that being said, I can still appreciate some really nasty racism when I see it. So this is a little out of order, but I did read an article in Elle magazine that was very off-putting a long time ago about this movie that basically said when it came out at like Long Duk Dong, basically any Asian kid at a high school was known as Long Duk Dong. Like he didn't even have a name after this movie came out. They were just Long Duk Dong.
Wait a minute. Hold on. They also call that or Short Round from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Okay. Yes. I agree with you.
No but, time like, for love.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. But I mean, imagine that. I'm kind of like, look what you did to these poor guys that were just living their life. And all of a sudden, like the stupid jock and the stupid popular girls are like, oh, it's Long Duk Dong.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Lauren.
You don't have to confirm. It's your show.
I have to confirm your story. Because when I was in, I think, second grade, we had two Asian transfer students, a brother and a sister, and they spoke very little English. And on the playground, the girl would always bite somebody. And when they went to go after him, the brother would come in and punch the kid in the dick. That was like their move. That was their move. And it came to the point where everybody was like, ah, are the dongs at it again?
Wait, that's.
Yeah. And I don't think at the time I didn't even get why we were calling them the dongs. Cause there I think I knew that wasn't their name. Right. But then like years and years later, I was like, oh.
I mean,
did someone ring a gong? Did someone ring a gong when they punched him in the dick? Like this film.
I mean, trust me, I am like everyone else. I think stereotypes can be funny. But I also think they can be offensive if you use them. You know, I don't know, whatever. I don't want to get canceled myself, but again, I don't agree with them. However, that was really troubling. When I read that, I was like, dude, that's messed up. That's so annoying. So it's actually I'm probably gonna say opposite things next. So it's not really gonna make much sense, but I also want to clarify that I'm a really nice person. No matter what I say, I'm a really, really nice girl. So the Molly Ringwald casting, I just don't think she's attractive. I always find her.
You listened to two other podcasts, didn't you? You son of a bitch.
No, I actually didn't to the Molly. I swear to you, I did not. I did not.
Appreciate it.
I find her like severely unattractive. And I found her uglier as a young girl. I think now a lot of people age better because there's products we can use and things we can do. But right away,
she grew into it. Like, and I'll give an example. I said this before, not long ago. She grew into it better. Look at Elizabeth Shue. Not that great in Karate Kid. Now she's a fucking smoke show. Leaving Las Vegas, 95. Smoke show. Now, even still, she's in her 50s. She's fucking way more attractive.
She's hot. I thought Elizabeth Shue was hot in Adventures in Babysitting. I thought she was hot from the start.
Saw that baby fat on her. Saw that baby fat on. Not ready for prime time.
Jesus, you're ridiculous. Yeah, I just remember when I first saw the movie, I was really excited. And I don't know, as like as a young girl, you like to kind of see attractive people. They remind you of princesses. I don't know. So I just remember seeing her and I was like, I don't really want to watch her on the screen for 2 hours. I think I'm going to throw up a little bit. So, you know, I'm kind of like, I'm not into that. So that was the first thing I noticed, you know, and the second thing I noticed as a parent now, I'm sorry, I'm not going to forget my child's birthday. Right then and there is almost like the Home Alone thing. John Hughes has this really bad habit of making these situations really like they're not going to happen. I'm sorry. I'm never going to forget a kid at home. And I'm also not going to forget my kid's birthday, even if another kid is getting married. And also, like, she doesn't say anything. I mean, a 16-year-old girl in a second would be like, it's my birthday. It's my birthday. Wait, what? What are you doing? Is that what you said?
It's in my notes. Yes.
Yeah. Like, literally, if you're a chick, you're going to be like, it's my fucking birthday. Like, it's all about me. So, you know, that right there, I'm just like, dude, come on. I don't really believe that. Okay, let's go to Anthony Michael Hall. Not that big of a dork, number one. He really isn't. He actually is attractive. He's small. Also, like Molly Ringwald, who do you think you are? I mean, he's kind of better than you. Like he, you know, you're not even on his level, but whatever. I didn't make the move. So that kind of pissed me off, you know? It really did piss me off. I'm just like, who do you think you are? Let's go to Jake and Carolyn. This is interesting to me. So Jake looks like a 40-year-old man. Let's just say. He does not belong, right? He does not belong in this movie. He's like a grown-ass adult, and he's talking to Anthony Michael Hall, who's clearly 12. You know, it just doesn't, like, it doesn't match. To me, I'm just like, something is really wrong here, because when I was in high school, I just don't remember the freshmen looking like preschoolers and the seniors looking like plumbers. Like, it just, it didn't really make sense to me. So that was really distracting. You know, when I rewatched the movie, I was very, very distracted by that. I was very, very distracted. sorry, this is just gross. Like Molly Ringwald's like little girl panty. I'm just like, so yeah,
she's a current day Rebel Wilson, right?
You know, I don't know what she is. I just was like, I don't want, like, the panties look like they had skid marks on it. I just, right? They were the type that, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they had like a little,
yeah.
It just reminded me of a little girl that didn't wipe her butt. And I'm just like, I wouldn't want those. Yeah, so that just wasn't that cool to me.
She was the last girl to figure out how she had to use a tampon when her monthly visitor started coming.
I mean, yes, that's actually, yeah, that's a really good point. A really good point. And then, you know, the whole, just back to Long Duk Dong. I mean, I was really happy for him when he became really popular and everything, but it's just like, come on. It's just, it's sad. It's like, it makes me uncomfortable. Like, because it's like that kid that thinks that everybody's laughing with them, but they're laughing at him. And again, I'm not about cancel culture. I just don't appreciate that. So I don't think it's like racist per se. I mean, it is racist, but like, I'm not going to sit here and berate it for that, because it was the 80s and, you know, we didn't really know any better. I feel like it's mean. It's just a mean movie. It puts people in different classes when they shouldn't be in different classes. Like, just, it just is, it's not nice. Like, the whole thing is just not.
Hold on. That, listen, I, everything so far, I'm agreeing. There was a class system in high school. No matter what film or real world, there was always a class system. There was a hierarchy. Forget class. Okay. It was a hierarchy. That always has happened. So don't say like, oh, I don't know. No, that's always been.
Okay, that's a good point. I think I'm thinking of maybe right now. So right now in our society, there's not, I would say. The kids today, it's like in my, you know, my age, like they would make fun of the gay kid. Now it's like gay, trans, whatever you are, what is it they're doing? Non-binary. Oh, well, sorry. Non-binary. It doesn't matter. Everybody is accepted. And like, if someone makes fun of you, you're the bad guy. But yeah, I guess in this situation, you're right. That is a thing. But I just thought it was mean. I thought also his girlfriend, Jake's girlfriend, Carolyn, I mean, again, 40 years old. I'm just like, there's no way. There's literally no way. Also, I'm just saying, she did not get that fucked up off of alcohol. There was
no
involved. There had to have been pills.
It was the 80s. Of course there was pills.
Yeah. So why do they act? It's just weird. It just, the whole thing was weird. And then Jake makes that comment like, ooh, I could violate her any which way I want to right now. And you're like, you didn't have to include that. That's weird. Like, it's just like a weird thing for a high school guy to say. I mean, I don't know if you watch Euphoria. It's not that weird now that I'm saying it out loud, but at the time it was a weird thing to say. So overall, besides the movie just being severely unrealistic and aesthetically just disgusting, I don't think there's one. I think there's literally one attractive person to look at in that whole movie. It's Jake. Cause I don't even find his girlfriend that attractive. I think everybody's ugly. And I just don't, I don't know. Is that, see, I'm nice. I'm really
no,
nice.
That's somewhere. Listen, you know what? She kind of reminds me, and again, I didn't do any research. She looks like Israel. You could probably back me up on this one. Do you remember the girl that Michael J. Fox was going for in Teen Wolf? They look very similar.
Yes.
I feel like it. Her name was Pamela as well.
I feel like in the 80s, there was a very strong stereotype as to what was an attractive, popular girl.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I just, I'm not here for it.
Same girl, and the same girl in Revenge of the Nerds. The popular girl in Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, yeah. She was different.
Another blonde, thin, athletic-looking girl.
Well, I'm going to conclude with this. I think a lot of us want to see happy endings, and we want to see more of the underdog winning. So I think that I was always upset at the end of the movie when he's kind of like hanging out by the car like this, and then they... You know, it just shows like their shadow having a date. It really bothered me that we didn't get to like witness their romance blossoming. And she, you know what I mean? I wanted to see more of that.
But it didn't happen because after the next morning he woke up and he was like, what the fuck am I doing?
He's like,
look at your teeth, bitch.
You three, gross.
Yeah. So I wanted, that's to me when the movie like started to get good, is like the end. When, you know, they finally got together, because I hate that whole like, oh, I'm looking at you, you're looking at me, we like each other, but we won't, shut the fuck up. Like, I don't have time for that. Like, just get to it, you know, like, let's go, guys. And then so they get to it and it's done.
To play devil's advocate, did you really want to see the good looking dude making out with ugly Molly Ringwald, in your opinion?
So I actually did, because again, I said I like the movies. I think most, sensical and non-sociopathic human beings like for the underdog to win. you know what I'm saying? For the loser, we root for, you know what I mean? Like, we don't want to see them die. We don't want to see them fail. We want to see them win. So I loved seeing her win at the end, but I was just like, I want to see more of it. And I'm finally into it. And now you guys cut it off. So I had to waste my time on, you know, Long Duck Dong and Anthony Michael Hall with the skid mark underwear and stuff. So,
Lauren, give me a scale 1 to 10 on your of 16 candles.
5.
Wow.
5. Yeah.
Not as scathing as I expected. Not as scathing.
No, because I don't hate anything. I think it takes a lot of effort to hate. I don't really respect the movie, though. I will say that. And if I don't respect it, that's pretty bad.
Noted. Kevin Israel, this is where you're going to go first today and probably take all the meat right off the bone and strip it clean for me.
I don't think so. First of all, I usually hate starting this off just kind of blowing my lead, but I hate this movie. This movie is terrible. And like Kevin said, this completes our Molly Ringwald Hughes trifecta. And each movie I just kind of hated a little more than the next. This movie is absolutely terrible. First of all, all the characters are hateable. Literally, not one sort of likable character in this movie. Even the people that you're kind of supposed to like are really assholes. Like Jake, asshole. Mm-hmm. Geek, who doesn't even get a name. They don't even give the geek a name. He's just Geek. Like
the Geek in the credits, if you saw that.
I think he's probably the closest to not being an asshole, but he's still an asshole. He
showed the panties,
yeah. And you know what? I can almost forgive that because he's, you know, a 14-year-old kid who doesn't realize, but he's just an asshole. Her parents, assholes. Her brother, asshole. Her sister, fucking asshole. The in-laws, asshole. Literally everybody in this movie.
The grandparents were the biggest cunts in the world, too. Agreed.
Yeah, the grandparents, absolutely. So there's no characters to like in this movie. Okay, so if you're watching a movie and there's no likable characters, well, then there's probably a great plot that really reels you in and makes you interested enough to ride with these horrible characters. Nope, not here. There's no plot in this movie. Literally no plot. It's just this whiny little girl going through her day because she didn't get noticed, and she's trying to figure out how to deal with this reality that nobody cares about. It's her 16th birthday, and go fuck yourself. Nobody ever cares about birthdays anyway. And that's the genesis of the movie. And then it basically breaks out into, oh, I like this guy who is so far out of my league. We're not even playing the same sport. And I'm going to try to somehow he gets a note. Like, I remember those quizzes. I'm a kid of the 80s. This was my fucking wheelhouse. I remember those notes going around school and people would be like, oh, my God, did you hear Jenna say that she gave somebody a hand? And it like ruined somebody's life for years. I remember that note. And and he gets that and reads it and goes, oh, you know what? Screw my model girlfriend. I'm going to go for this awkward weirdo because she passed a note that said she's never had sex, which is always a great person to try to get with. Mm. And she wants to have it with me. Of course she wants to have it with me. You're the only guy who has chest hair in school. You're fucking 37. Like, why? All the little girls want to have sex with you. You're an adult who can buy beer, bro. You've been left back 13 years.
Of course. He's been to at least two NA meetings. I guarantee you that.
That's really funny.
The plot in this is just horrible. Just absolutely horrible. All the plot devices in this are horrible. Leaving aside whether or not it's me, like, obviously the anti-Asian theme in this is pretty bad. Leaving that aside, it's not funny. It's not funny, and it just gets tired. Like, I was like, wow, they're gonna keep going with the gong. Like, they're really leaning into the gong. Like, were people in the movie theater laughing the seventh time the gong hit? Because if they were, people in the 80s were fucking idiots. Like, it wasn't funny. And they could have done something funny with that character. Mm. They could have done something original and unique and funny. And it kind of is funny that he gets this girl and, like, he ends up having, like, sex with this big girl who's got big boobs. And then he ends up hammered on the grass. And everybody's like that kind of is funny. But the fact that they said, no, this isn't the funny part. The funny part is he's Asian. Isn't that hysterical? It's crazy. You've probably never seen an Asian person before. And by the way, gong. Okay. Punchline. Like, just terrible, horrible, horribly written. And how many times in the 80s were we going to let John Hughes write a teenage girl? Like, what did this asshole know about teenage girls? And why does he always seem to get it so wrong? And part of it, I think, is his writing. But then part of it is that Molly Ringwald can't act her way out of a paper bag. She literally felt like a school play the entire time watching her act. She's a horrible actress who has one character. Boring. That's her character. And she did it in 16 Candles. She did it in Pretty in Pink. And she did it in Breakfast Club. Yep. All the same characters. Supposedly different people. Breakfast Club, she was supposed to be the popular kind of bitchy girl. Pretty in Pink, she was supposed to be like the poor, I'm trying to struggle and make something of myself, but I'm so different girl. And in this, she's somewhere kind of in the middle. They were all the same person. You know why? Because she can't act. And watching her act is painful. And I could almost get past her not being attractive enough to justify all these movies where everybody's so interested in her if she could act and if she was like an interesting person, but she's not. She's boring, whiny. She always looks pissed off. She's got resting bitch face out the fucking wazoo. And this is the person we're supposed to care about. And I didn't care about her. I didn't care about anybody in this movie. I didn't care about the plot of the movie. I didn't care about anything. I actually struggled to pay attention to this movie. At one point, I realized I was looking at my phone for 10 minutes. And I looked up and I was like, and I didn't even rewind. Lauren, you made some reference to something that happened in the movie. And I was like, I missed that. But I didn't care. I genuinely didn't care. I think this was actually the first time I've watched this movie all the way through ever.
Like, don't I know care.
I've seen parts of it. But it's just such a fucking bad movie. And there's and the things that do happen in the movie, so many other movies have done better. The creepy grandparents, Christmas Vacation did the grandparents, old people, so much better. The party, the school party, that didn't even look like a fun party. Didn't look like a great, like, I didn't want to be at that party. Like, it listened like so many other movies did the party well. Like the angsty kids, like, you can name so many movies that did all of these points so much better. And this movie just failed every time at trying to make its point. And the most ridiculous thing was the wedding at the end. What was that about?
Oh, I actually didn't even touch on that. Yeah. What was all the oxy she took? Like, that was stupid as fuck.
And she's marrying this guy. Like, I thought, because I don't even remember that storyline. I thought that at the end of the movie, she was going to, like, leave him or be like, nah, fuck this. Like, I thought that's where that was going. Like, because that would have been at least a plot development. That would have been something that happened. No, she just ends up marrying this asshole that everybody seems to like. And by the way, fuck Italian people, because this movie kind of fucks with everybody. So screw Italian people too. Like, it was just so bad. I don't know if this is it considered a comedy? Is this movie considered a comedy?
Yes, absolutely.
It's not a comedy. It's not funny. It's not interesting. It's not compelling. It's poorly acted. There's no plot. John Hughes is a creep who just, I think, wants to write about teenagers and show boobs for no reason. I mean, it was the 80s, so there were always just random boobs.
Well, but let's not go Cassie in for that, Kevin Israel. That's a highlight. No,
but you know what? In this movie, it just feels like there's this guy writing about high school kids, and he's like, oh, you know what? We got to have a girl naked in the shower. And it's like, what? What are you doing, dude? Why do we keep letting you do this? I hate this fucking movie. One.
Wow. I knew you were going to, again, we share the same fucking brain. I knew you were going to hate it, not hate it that much. Wow. Bold. I'm going to.
I think he hates it more than me, actually.
He does. He just gave it a one. You gave it a five.
Seriously, I gave it a five.
By the way, you'd be surprised how often that the guest comes on and goes, I didn't like it, four. And we're like, fuck it, one, two.
Well, because it's watchable, it's just bad.
Well, nope. These notes brought to you by our live show. Our live show, March 26th, Carousel Movie Theater. Go on Eventbrite, look up Gutting the Sacred Cow, get a ticket, hang out. Bill and Joanne from The Morning Show are doing Office Space. That's right. Come hang out with us as we watch the movie and then do a live episode. And of course, guttingthesacredcow.com for all of your hilarity. And of course, patreon.com/guttingthesacredcow. For our vlogs. Notes. I like, by the way, I'm going to start off. You two apparently are not fine with racism, but rapey? By all means, guys. Ollie, Ollie, oxen free. None of you talk about the rapey shit. Notes. I love how the 9-year-old brother knows his one sister's menzies schedule and the other's increase of a tit size. Something tells me that this boy is not going to be a godparent to either of their kids whenever they have some. And now for a spit take. If you told me that Molly Ringwald and Buzz from Home Alone are related, I would completely buy that.
That's a good one.
Thank you. I remember those same surveys too in high school, but we had the fortune teller origami. Remember the 1, 2, 3, 4?
Yes.
Well, it also looks like those don't work out because I should be living in a mansion with Jessica Gonzalez right now, and I'm not.
Was that? Did you do the one where you had to draw a circle and you circled them to stop and then he counted the lines?
Yep.
It's called MASH.
MASH. That's it.
Yeah. It's MASH.
Mansion
rap.
Apartment. I forgot what S is.
In mansion, shack apartment, house. Shack house.
Shack house.
Shack house. And then you'd be rich, average, poor.
Right.
Yes.
That was a good game. Mm-hmm.
You're such an asshole.
Wait, I kind of want to play it right now. Oh, I wish. Fun. Isn't it? I know. Yes, it is.
Next Power Lunch, we're playing that for sure.
MASH rap.
Kevin, how did you miss this one? I've had workout partners before plenty, but doing alternating pull-ups on the same bar, that doesn't happen.
You know what? I'm sorry to interrupt. To prove the point why this movie wasn't funny, so that was a funny concept where they were doing pull-ups and it turns out they weren't.
Right.
But the fact that they were just like the bar was just on the ground and they were just using their feet, in my head, I actually thought, I was like, oh, I think like there's freshmen holding them and like pushing them up and down. That would have been funny. This was not funny.
Did you see in the background the one nerd getting suplexed?
Yeah.
All right. High school shower titty scene. Half a bonus point. You know how we play. The nerds on get off the bus while voluntary wearing jock straps with no bullies in arm's length. Stop it. They would have removed those immediately to avoid another millisecond of public shame. That doesn't happen. Are exchange students a thing anymore? I don't remember that since our days. I don't hear about those things really.
Do you guys?
It's called something else now. It's got to be.
But do they still do that? Do they have other high school kids or whatever come live out here for a marking period or two? I don't know.
I think so. I think it's just a overseas program, whatever. And also,
no chance is Long Duck Dong getting pussy that fast in the 80s. In 2021, he could come here and demand every woman sleep with him. 2022, excuse me. He can come here and demand every woman sleep with him because then he'd say, hey, you're racist if you don't. John Hughes is not a master of subtlety. Examples. Why did he abuse the shit out of TV themes to signify groups of people? Peter Gunn, a.k.a. the Spy Hunter theme, for the nerds. Dragnet theme, nerds. By the way, the Italian family, the Godfather theme. And what was that Italian family's last name? Do you remember?
They weren't Italian!
The Rice Checks! That's not fucking Italian!
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Damn good and well that's not an Italian name. That's just pure horse shit. Stop it. The 5% Italian in me is disgusted. Long Duck Dong, what did he get? Turning Japanese, but he's Chinese. All right, I get the comedy play, whatever. Holier shit, John Hughes is heavier handed than The Thing, The Hulk, or Roberto Duran. Go Google that last reference, folks. It's a smart one. John Hughes should have played the theme to Song of the South throughout the entire film because there are maybe 3 black people in this entire film. maybe three. I saw one nerd and I probably dozed off when the other two were present. And 80s nerds were not that technological. They weren't running around like the Borg from Star Trek Next Generations working at a public access station. No one ran around, unless you were, Kevin. You put your hand up.
The kid was wearing those glasses. He was wearing those goggles. Uh-huh. Those are the goggles from Ghostbusters. I'm pretty sure if you look.
Those are night vision goggles.
They must have, but I guarantee you they must have been repurposed. They were the exact same ones.
I don't think so, because they both came out in 1984.
Fuck you, Kevin. All right.
Lawyer. That's your favorite film. You should know that. Is Anthony Michael Hall the precursor to Ducky? If so, this film is, I promise, will get nothing higher than a 2 from me. Spaz out. Bet you a dozen floppy disks. The only thing missing from these 80s rhetoric barbs was dweeb or wastoid. I love how the... Thank you. That's a good one, right?
You should bring it back.
I like how the one nerd stole the skinny red sunglasses from one of the bike riders in E.T. in the final scene and brought them back and wore them in this film. Those real pencil thin glasses. They protected your eyes from about 1/8 of an inch of sunlight. And this is where Kevin Israel makes a long duck dong Asian glasses joke. John Hughes forgot to show the part where the nerds, when they saw the underwear in the bathroom, he forgot to show the part where the nerds each paid $5 to sniff Molly Ringwald's underwear in the bathroom, because you damn know well that happened.
Oh.
This nerd group is more rapey than a Hollywood producer in the 40s, Les Moonves, or a UCB troupe. Young Sorry. John, no, I encourage laughter.
Okay, it's awkward.
Young John Cusack looks like Miles Teller.
I didn't notice, but anyway.
A little bit, I could see that.
Minute 38 in, and my laugh counter still says 0 on my legal pad.
Brutal.
Get ready for a huge that doesn't happen. Kevin, I love when actors who are playing drunk are carrying blatantly empty beer cans. Zero spillage when you're flailing your arms like an Italian trying to land a plane. That doesn't happen. Those two girls, when they cut her hair off the door, they're like all drunk and they just have their arms. Those cans are so empty. Stop the horseshit. I'm surprised you guys didn't get into this one. I've been to plenty of house parties when parents are not home. I've been quasi-respectful of said house party's host. But what fuckstain goes to the trouble of toilet papering the host's house or putting a full pizza on a goddamn turntable and the piece de resistance leaving a credit card in an empty coffee mug? I said it on the Breakfast Club episode. This is pure white people fuckery at its finest. Okay. John Hughes must have taken acid, then stared at an M.C. Escher painting too long, and then wrote out this scene. Because I've been to plenty of these parties, and these things just don't happen. What couldn't he just do it straight? Couldn't you just have a regular party? Like, what really happened? Like, guys in one corner playing Nintendo, girls giggling in the other corner until someone shows up with the booze or breaks into the liquor cabinet and then whip out the beer pong balls, and then guys hooking up with their beer pong partners. Is that too much to ask?
Apparently.
I think it proves that John Hughes never went to any parties.
Yeah.
Totally.
She's passed out and I can violate her in 10 different ways.
I didn't like that. I didn't like that.
Did John Hughes just endorse dead horsing? And did
dead horsing?
Remember that name? You ever heard of dead horsing?
Yes.
No.
You never heard of that?
No.
Oh, God.
You know, it's funny you say no. It's funny you say no, Kevin. Is
I'm a good person. I don't rape. A very low bar, Lauren.
Clearly.
Just because you know what the term
I
is.
Don't rape. Yeah, I don't rape. No, I agree with you, Kevin. I didn't think about that. The house party. You're right. I've been to plenty. I would never do that. Whatever. Who does that? Who destroys the host? Like,
listen,
that's stupid.
We've all stolen CDs from someone's house. I'm fully guilty of that. But that's the extent of my fuckery.
Who goes to a party and works out in the parents' gym? Like, what was that?
That's so dumb. The worst thing I ever did was throw up on this girl's Christmas presents. Like, it was like her brother's party. It was his little sister. I was like a senior. I threw up on all her presents. It was awful. I bought her everything new. I got grounded for a long time. But yeah.
So John Hughes endorses dead horsing. And did Brett Ratner take copious notes while watching this film?
Jesus. What?
Google Brett Ratner sex best.
Okay. Yeah.
They had car phones back in 1984. Shit, this could have been helpful for the other 283,472 movies made in the 80s. How do we not know about car phones in 84? But no one else addresses car phones until maybe Wall Street in 87.
The only people that could afford it.
He's like a Harvey Weinstein.
They go. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sometimes these jokes go a little bit past skin deep here, Lauren. Just be ready.
Wait, now, also, can I just note that my birth year is 1984? So, yay. So okay, move on. Keep going. Anyway.
So, you are, like I said, we're a few years older. And then when Jake Ryan's girlfriend falls into Anthony Michael Hall's lap, Anthony Michael Hall decides to break the fourth wall with this gem. Ready? This is getting good. Hold on a second. Ah, fuck you.
I forgot about that. This is getting good.
This is getting good. That's like some comic who thinks he's being edgy goes, strap in. Like, fuck you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, the bar was so goddamn low in the 80s. No wonder shows like Get Along Gang, Peanuts, and Heathcliff the Cat were popular back then. Gross. Kevin,
I will fight you over Peanuts.
Oh, it's terrible. It's all one song, and that's how everyone loves on that. Oh, the Red Baron. That's hilarious. Remember how much persuading you had to do to your friends to convince them that you had a girl interested in you? But it took damn near a grand jury indictment to get people to buy that you even kissed a girl. You'd have four witnesses sign off that you, in fact, made out with a girl back in the day. The grandparents, let's talk about these fucksticks. You talk about dated dialogue. Quote, ready? I hate that rock and roll rubbish. Well, it's here to stay. Can someone tell John Hughes this is 1984 and not 1964? Did he just watch the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show and write that line out? I swear to Christ, I think Molly Ringwald's family left for that wedding in the Clark Griswold family truckster. That is the same fucking car, Kevin Israel. I am convinced. By the way, I had the same exact headgear as Anthony Michael Hall did after waking up in Jake Ryan's car. You will not hear a better humble brag than you will than that today. For all you Caddyshack fans, that's right. That's Lou, the Caddy Master, as the priest. You, pick up that blood. Caddyshack, be with it. Okay, again, for the third time, but in backwards order, Kevin Israel, you said it already. We have a Molly Ringwald film where she tries to outkick her coverage, but she never exhibits any desirable traits that any dude would want to fall in love with her for. Is John Hughes trying to Manchurian candidate us into thinking she's hot? Didn't work on me, fuckers. She is the same boring character in every film. Pouts to her parents in every film. Fends off nerds in every film. And then miraculously through divine intervention gets the guy in the end in every film. And we know her looks. She's in no danger of being recruited to be on the cover of Teen Vogue, Teen People, or Teen Hustler, for Christ's sakes. But this same recipe, John Hughes, he replicates a shitty entree every time he's made this film and expects you to eat it with a smile. This was the OG version of that character, and I wish it would have died a quicker death than the new Coke did. Now, Israel said this too. The plot line is her pissed because people forgot her 16th birthday. When you say assholes, it's my birthday, especially 16 in America. Shit, they throw a whole backyard bash in Mexico when you turn 15. You don't think they do the same here for 16-year-olds? I mean, I did not like this film, as you could probably surmise. I did not hate it near as much as Pretty in Pink. At least Breakfast Club, which sucked hard, had a better soundtrack.
It sucked. Way better.
It's a much better. All three of these films suck dick. I said it before, and I will say it one last time until someone decides to do Uncle Buck or Home Alone, because they're the only two John Hughes films left this podcast has not done.
But those are good movies. They're good movies.
Someone hates them. Someone hates them.
Someone does. You're right. Someone does.
John Hughes is the epitome of swing and miss. He is the goddamn grand marshal of that parade. And I would agree. I think he is the most overrated director of all time. He's batting 500. He bats 500 at best, which gets you to the Baseball Hall of Fame, but not the NBA or NFL Hall of Fame by any stretch. He swings and misses with this one, like Bugs Bunny swinging and screwing himself into the ground like he was playing the Gas House Gorillas. There are no redeemable characters in this film whatsoever. Everyone borders on insane annoyance. I think I laughed twice, and it was maybe because of the awkward or somewhat, or the brother had some funny lines. I did crack up at the brother. He's a dick, but he's a little minor stifler. It's baffling to me when people defend this film to the fucking grave. Forget the rape overtones. Forget the long duck dong. Like you, I appreciate smart racism humor, not dumb, lazy racism humor. And this was dumb, lazy racism humor. Mm-hmm. Oh, the hack lines weren't funny then, and people still quote the shit out of them because I prefer my stereotypes with wit and charisma. See Short Round in Temple of Doom and the Chinese guy in Revenge of the Nerds. Thank you.
I agree.
Thank you. This film stunk when I first saw it. And I'm glad to say 10-year-old Kevin's gut reaction in his current age are drawing damn near parallels with every film we do in this podcast. Most of them. By the way, John Hughes said he wrote this film in a weekend. By the way, it showed. I'm going to double Kevin Israel's score and give this a 2 out of 10. And I don't know why. Oh, that's why. Shower titties. That's it.
Oh, you gave it a 2. You gave it a 1. I gave it a 5.
It's fucking terrible. It's not as bad as Pretty in Pink. I can't go worse than Pretty in Pink for this one.
Okay. So maybe my edible is kicking in, but I just thought of this. I feel like John Hughes, I mean, it's not that he's overrated. He just doesn't care. It's like he writes these crazy storylines that obviously would never happen in real life, like the Home Alone thing or forgetting her birthday and she wouldn't say it, but he doesn't give a shit. Like, it's like these are box office, they're box office hits. They made a lot of money. They're cash cows. So he's like, whatever, it doesn't matter.
People are dumb. Don't ever dispute that. Uncle Buck, I fucking love.
I love Uncle Buck too.
I love Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and I love Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, I didn't see Planes, Trains. I probably should.
Well, 95 minutes, it's a good watch. Now, let's see what the jerk offs who definitely can sympathize with the nerds in this film are, have to say. Critics, 5-star reviews.
Critics, 5-star reviews. Critics. 5-star reviews. Critics, 5-star reviews.
16 Candles is a genuinely funny film with plenty of throwaway gags that betray Hughes' lampoon origins.
Lampoon. I mean, no, that's not true.
Lashley, lampoon buddies were funny, not this.
Yeah, that's not true at all.
The plotting is crude and haphazard, but the dialogue is amusing and the cast is appealing.
No.
Knock, knock.
I can't even look at their faces. Wrong. Gross.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Eat a dick.
Yeah, gross.
16 Candles is brazenly mischievous, consistently uproarious comedy that christens the devastating, ready, Hughes Foo with vivacious results. This asshole probably took every word and added the word foo at the end of it to be the life of the party. Like, hey, want to go eat some spaghetti foo while watching porno foo before Uncle John gets in from the airport foo? How about fook you? The first effort by writer-director John Hughes on his way to becoming the William Shakespeare of teen angst. They wrote this. One really has to be aware of the climate of the early 80s to truly understand, that's not proper grammar, the impact that this film had among teens.
I'm not a teen in the 80s, so I can't speak to that. I don't know. No clue. I disagree, but I can't speak to it.
Critics, 1-star reviews.
Critics, 1-star reviews. Critics, 1-star reviews.
To To try to explain 16 Candles as a person who was there for it in first run today is to helplessly shrug and say, I don't know, man, it was a different time. A sporadically amusing yet hopelessly uneven endeavor that simply isn't in the same league as Hughes' later classics. That second part I agree with. The first part is viciously wrong. Meandering and kind of dull and doesn't quite manage to be as sweet as its romantic final scene.
Yeah, I agree with that. Totally.
They should show the unedited version where Jake Ryan slips a digit or two while they're making out on the car. That would be the real.
What's a digit? What do you mean?
A finger.
What's a digit?
Or he goes, he drops a thumb. Kevin, he drops a thumb like Don Jameson likes to say.
What?
The thumb.
Oh, like in the butt?
Or anywhere.
Oh, okay.
Feel like you don't know party girl in the car.
Sorry, continue.
Amazon.
I'm learning so much. Amazon,
5-star reviews. Amazon, 5-star reviews. Amazon, 5-star reviews come for you. That being said, the Asian American kid in 16 Candles was lovable, fun, and well-liked by his peers, but the fact that the movie played a gong during his scenes removes all that makes him great or somehow lessens his worth? Absolutely not. It's poking fun. There is a greater understanding that this movie covers. We are all worthy of being lovingly made fun of for a multitude of reasons. It's important to laugh at ourselves and each other, whether that be because of our aspects of our character or inalienable traits. It's the intent behind the joke that matters. Did the joke intend to hurt people? Or was it an all fun? Getting teased is part of growing up and becoming an adult in the harsh world.
This guy's a bad open mic comic.
I mean, yeah, like, cool. I didn't ask, but anyway.
You're right, Kevin, because he would have ended that with pussies. Am I right?
Yeah.
Thanks for Amazon splaining that to us, dude.
Next one. I got to say, I think this movie is funnier now. If more than half the movie is PC taboo. Oh, the things that were okay back in the 80s. I was born in 1980, so didn't watch this closer till 1990. And it was definitely my baseline for what to expect in high school. If this movie offends you, I'm sorry. But if I think you can't see the comedy for what it is and actually appreciate the leaps our society has made, since I can't imagine you'll get much enjoyment out of anything released before 1995.
Can't see the comedy because it wasn't comedy.
It wasn't comedy.
Yeah.
It wasn't
also, like, don't base your high school experiences off of a movie. Don't think, like, are you an idiot? That's like,
wait a minute. I did off of American Pie.
You seriously thought your high school experience was going to be okay? I was going to say,
I graduated college.
Are you crazy?
I love people like
girls
that.
Girls are not that hot like Tara Reid in American Pie. That's like
a, you're anyway, goddamn but. Right they weren't. by the way, we grew up during the flannel around your waist era. You at least grew up in the booty short era.
You're the flannel around the waist. You're right. You're like the Daria era.
Daria. But we did have the Super Lopez.
Daria.
I'm a Beavis and Butthead aficionado. Thank you.
Yes, exactly.
So they can say how racist and bad it is while saying they like it and want to remake it. Nice try, AMC. Go ahead and try and remake it and see how many people you really do offend for ruining a perfect movie. 10 stars, 0 for the stupidity at the end. Piecing it up with just enough lame fake offensiveness. Signed, Red Fox.
Thanks, Red Fox. Dumber. I don't know.
Last, Kevin Israel, this one's for you. Love this movie. However, it is kind of disappointing to have to pay that much to rent it for just a couple of days, especially when I can get the DVD at Walmart for $5.
Well, then go for it, dude. Go to Walmart.
That's very funny.
they're going to have someone hold their feet so they can go upside down to the bargain bin and find this piece of shit film.
I agree.
Amazon, 1-star reviews. Amazon, 1-star reviews. Here come the Amazon, 1-star reviews. This one's a long one, but boy, is it worth it. This movie is loaded with bad messages, mostly misogyny and creepy, rapey characters and women/girls being mistreated as disposable objects. The side story about the Chinese exchange student Dong is also extremely racist and full of inappropriate stereotyping. Garbage movie. Yikes. How did this ever get a PG rating in the 80s? That's a valid question. So much of this movie is totally inappropriate. Young girls sizing each other's assets up in the shower. This movie was definitely written by a man boy. I can't recall how many girls in my high school who even used the showers after class. Would you go to school in the Amish country?
And people in your high school use the showers after class?
Wait, I said we didn't use the shower. She's right. Or he's right. Yeah.
We did.
Really? I never went into a shower.
Swim class. You had to, otherwise you had chlorine.
Swim class.
You swam at school in high school.
Where did you go to part of gym? Where were you at Hogwarts?
Yeah. Virginiosis. Whatever.
Jeez.
Yeah, we had swimming in part of gym class. This movie is so bogus. I went to high school in the 80s in the Chicagoland area, and this was not what it was like at all. This is just some perverted dude's fantasy. Besides, no girl of my acquaintance would have put up with the crap Anthony Michaels Hall character tried on Molly Ringwald. He would have gotten bopped in the mouth straight away. Signed, the L.A. Strangler, Richard Ramirez. And by the way, how can this guy know the girl's shower situation unless you're creeping on him? Yeah, Porkies, we're on to you.
Yeah, we got the hole in the wall.
Next one. What a mistake. Read reviews before purchasing/renting. First 10 minutes had the F word and full nudity. That's not true. It was just tits. Asking for my money back.
Kevin zoomed in. He knows.
I paused. That's a nice set.
He paused it so long. TV was like, are you still watching this? Yeah.
My wife, this is the first time someone's ever watched 16 Candles with their pants off. I go, well, that fucking Jake Ryan is dreaming.
A 90-minute wow. movie you've been watching for 3.5 hours.
Yeah. Asking for my money back. Request denied, but here's a free lollipop and an AOL CD-ROM disc of 100 free hours of AOL access. The back of the case stated that the movie is PG, but once we started watching the movie, we realized it is rated R. At the very bottom of the case, it says, made in Mexico. Very disappointed in this product. Stupid movie. I bought it for my wife. It's not funny and just retarded. Just like my wife, retarded and not funny.
No, is that what it said? No, I was like, seriously? No. I was like, oh my God.
He did write it's not
like
funny.
He throws an anti-Mexican.
Yeah, piece. I did. I like just that. Like,
yeah. Wait, is it? Sorry, can you go back? I don't even know. Is it actually rated PG? There's no way.
So it is, but I see where people saw it was R-rated. There was, but when you press on Amazon, it says PG.
It's 100%. It shouldn't be PG. I'm like very disturbed by
back
this.
Back in the 80s, I think you could show breasts once and still get a PG rating.
This is before 13.
But it's not 13. Just the boobs. It's when he says he can violate her and he's taking her underwear.
That wasn't even something you considered in the 80s. That was just comedy.
That's just locker room talk.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Go watch Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, yeah.
Shit.
That's
crazy.
That's an R, though. That's a different. No, but Nerds is an R, though.
But Nerds is R just because there's so much nudity. I mean,
yeah.
Oh. Dude, that's, yeah. Whatever.
This movie contains inappropriate language, too many filthy and dirty words. If Hollywood had skipped those bad words, it would have been a good movie. But apparently, they're cool with the shitty story, rape stuff, and hacky Asian jokes. Right, folks?
Oh, my.
There it is. Kevin Israel, did Lauren Conlon gut that sacred cow?
She, you know what? This was a win with an assist from the Kevins.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
She gets the guttings, but we threw the alley-oop up for her to throw it down.
This is a 3-on-0 breakaway, and we just scored without any problem whatsoever. Yeah.
Listen, I told you I'm nice. I have a hard time like ripping things apart like that. It's really hard for me, okay?
Oh, that's not true. We said plenty of mean things at lunch together.
That's true. But it's you know, that's not on the air. So.
I know.
I have, you know.
I will co-sign on that. This cow had strep throat to begin with, and then it was dealt a case of anal diphtheria, because this cow is fucking poisoned and in hospice as it was, and all we just did was come out and unplug the life support.
Can I make one statement? Kevin Israel's background with the three characters, they were, I mean, they're so filtered and like, I mean, she looks hotter.
That's you.
That's your face. That's goatee's face.
And wait, that's my face.
That's why I was listening. Why does she look hot? I actually literally thought that. I literally was like, she's hot there. And I didn't even know that was me. I'm so nice,
especially to myself.
I swear to you, I literally was like, that doesn't look like her. I couldn't see Jake as your head. And wait, so that's supposed to be Kevin?
That is my face.
That's him.
Wait, I'm very impressed with this.
An hour and 10 minutes later, she finally picks up on the back.
I was going to point it out, but I was like, eh.
Some people catch it very quickly. JL called in, got that like in the first 15 seconds. Goes,
JL was like excited about it.
Yeah, he was psyched. Did you send
it?
I was
just thinking, I'm like, this just obviously is not Molly Ringwald. It's like a bootleg version. I'm like, she's just pretty. That's me. Okay.
By the way, that does very much look like my hairstyle in the 80s. And I was told people a lot, like celebrity lookalikes now, Anthony Michael Hall. And
he's hot now. He's crazy, but he's hot.
And Zach Morris were they two like celebrities? That's the ones I get the most. I know.
Oh my God, Zach Morris makes my nipples hard. I love him still to this day. One
girl said you look like Bradley Cooper. I said I look more like Winnie Cooper than Bradley Cooper. Stop it. That's ridiculous. Hey, Lauren Conlon, what can we find you? Where can we find you? What are you up to? Share with us.
You can find me on Instagram at Lauren_interviews. And you can find me on Twitter at Conlon_Lauren. You can probably find me down at City Hall rallying for the toddlers to be able to take their masks off. I'm just kidding. But no, really, I probably will be down there for that. But I have a podcast that comes out every Wednesday. It's called Lauren Interviews. And I write and do interviews for a publication called Popstyle TV. And just follow my Instagram. I post everything I do there.
Kevin Israel.
KevinIsrael.com for comedy dates. I'm up at Foxwoods every month. That date changes, so check my calendar. And more importantly, leave us a 5-star rating and a few sentence review on your podcast platform of choice. It helps. It works the algorithms. KG and I have seen the effect of the algorithms over the past few weeks, and it doesn't make any sense. But what does make sense is you leaving us a review, because even when the numbers are down, we still get absolute happy boners over reading your beloved reviews of our podcast. Kevin sends them to me, and I know we just want to hug each other as we read them. So please leave us those reviews. It means something to us. It means something to the show, and it should mean something to you too.
We hug each other like Rocky Balboa and Apollo Creed in the surf in Rocky III,
dancing in the water,
and they're frolicking with those, you know, nut hugger shorts on that only could survive in 1983.
I have those on right now.
Prove it. KevinGoatee.com for shenanigans. GuttingTheSacredCow.com for everything us. Merch shop is there. And of course, as I said before, go and get tickets for the live show March 26th, Carasotas Movie Theater, Secaucus, Jersey, and see us hang out with Bill and Joanne yet again to do Office Space. And we do a live episode right after the film in that theater. Eventbrite.com, Gutting the Sacred Cow. Lauren Conlon, you did not disappoint, my dear. Thank you for coming on this podcast.
Good job, Lauren.
Thanks, guys.
Much appreciated. This was so fun. We had fun with you. Talk to you guys later.
That was fun.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.